Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Open your Bible to Galatians 2:20. I believe everybody's familiar with Galatians 2:20. We thank God for His Word. And we want to honor His Word while His Word is being read. Amen. And the Word of God now reads, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to talk about living a crucified life. Living a crucified life. I know people, every time they hear me come forth, wherever I go, I'm always saying I have been crucified with Christ. And the reason why I say it so much, because I have to make it known that I have been crucified. I have died with Christ. And I remember years ago when I was going through a situation in my life, and I don't know about you, when you're going through a situation, sometimes you pace the floor, and while you're pacing the floor, you're thinking within yourself, how are you going to do this, or how are you going to do this, how is this going to work out, or why did this happen, and, you know, all of these things. And as I was doing these things, I heard the Spirit of the living God in me tell me, you're crucified with Christ. And I said, crucified with Christ? What are you talking about? So I only got part of that verse. And when the Lord gave me that whole verse and I began to meditate on that verse became so much a part of me, I had to make it real in my life. So when I say it so much, I don't say it just out of habit. I say it because I'm living a crucified life. And this is what we all have to do now that we're in the body of Christ. We have to live a crucified life. So I want to talk about that a little bit on this morning because, it, you know, deep down on the inside, some of us are going through some things, and some things that we're going through, we don't understand why it's been 20 years or why it's been a year, 5 years, or a month, and we're still going through some of the same things that we went through last year, and we just don't understand why sometimes our mouths are so big and we don't know how to study to be quiet, or sometimes we are dibbling and dabbling in somebody else's affairs, or sometimes we have an outburst of anger, or sometimes we might be going through that fornication or that adultery, or maybe going through some things that, Lord, I just don't understand. And the Lord began to touch my heart again with this scripture to teach on it this morning, to really dig deep into this, to let you know why I always say I have been crucified with Christ. We know that this is Paul talking, and we know Paul's life, and we know how Paul was going out and getting the Christians. He was trying to crucify them, put them to death because of the truth. But we know that Paul had a Damascus experience with the Lord. I don't know about you, when you have a Damascus experience with the Lord, you know it has to be God. It couldn't have been nobody else but him who transformed your life where that change came in. So Paul recognized that he had been changed, and he knew it wasn't Paul that done it. So as Paul recognized that change, he began to teach on being crucified. He began to teach on dying to Christ, even in the midst of situations where people were coming out against Paul. Paul lived a crucified life. And this is what God wants us to live as Christians, a crucified life, so they will know that it's no longer us that live, but it's Christ that lives in us. But people are mainly seeing the world in us instead of seeing him in us. You are who you portray. You are who you act like. And if you act like the world, don't just go around and say, I know I'm saved. You can't be saved and acting still like the world acts. There should supposed to be a change. You're supposed to be a light that sits upon a hill that the whole world see. And that world is drawn to that light. They're coming to that light. They want to come out of darkness, and they want to be a part of what you have. That's a crucified life. So when we look at crucified, in the dictionary, crucified is meaning that you're dead. It means that that you're dead and you're nailed to the cross. It's like your hands and feet are nailed to the cross. They're bind to the cross. It means it's death to the cross. And this is what crucified mean, because way back then when the Romans crucified somebody, they really crucified somebody. Y'all know about Jesus' crucifixion. But what we have to recognize is we have to know that we were crucified with him. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6:6. And this is what we have to know now that we're born again. And when you know these things, when things pop up in your life and you know this, you won't be doing some of the things that you're doing. There is no excuse. We sometimes make an excuse for sin. There is no excuse, because Jesus done away with past, present, and future sins. Look at your neighbor and say, there ain't no excuse for that. We always trying to find an excuse why we said what we said or why we did what we did. You know how it is, women in marriage, when your husband says something, you will tell them, well, I wouldn't have said it if you hadn't said what you said first. We always try to find an excuse. It's time out for excuses. So in Romans 6:6, it says, knowing this. When it means knowing this, it means to perceive that thing, to have knowledge of, to have understanding that our old man is crucified with him. Let's talk about this old man being crucified with him. That means being put to death. This old man is that sin nature that was compelling you, that was driving you to sin, that when you said you wouldn't do a thing, that sin nature in you, like the commandments when it tells you do not steal, that sin nature in you compels you and draws you to do something that the word of God tells you not to do. This is why when they were up under the law, laws had to be established for them, because when the world became so corrupt, they did anything, said anything. It was beyond our imagination. Everything around them was evil continually. Within their heart, it was evil continually. So God set up some laws for them to let them know what they were doing wrong. Now, even though God set up those laws for them to let them know, they still had a sin nature on the inside of them that was compelling them, that was driving them to keep doing what they were doing. But what we got to know when we become born again, that old man that was compelling us, that was driving us to sin, was put to death. When something is put to death, that means it no longer lives. Some people say, I do what I do because I'm going to have that sin nature until Jesus comes. That's a lie. You cannot have the Holy Spirit and a sin nature living on the inside of you in the same temple. This is why when you got born again, the Holy Spirit sealed you until the day of redemption. But before he sealed you, that sin nature had to be done away with. It was done away with through Jesus Christ. So this is what you got to know. That controlling drive, that compelling thing that had you doing what you were doing, it is dead. It is done away with. This is why Paul say, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. Who is him? Jesus Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So when that old man died, that old man was controlling you. It was giving your human body that desire, that lust. It was compelling that body to do exactly what that sin nature wanted it to do. But guess what? Jesus got rid of sin. so we don't have to serve sin. And I'm going to get into why people still doing what they do. But the first thing you got to know is the old man is dead. Go with me to Colossians, the second chapter. In Colossians, the second chapter, it goes on to say in verse 11, Colossians 2:11, "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." So in the Old Testament, when you were circumcised, that means that that foreskin was cut off. And when that foreskin is cut off, guess what it does? You're throwing that away, and it withers up and does what? Dies. You cannot put it back on, can you? Because once it's cut away, it is cut away. So in the Old Testament, when they would say somebody was uncircumcised, it means that they were not in covenant with them. Remember when David was fighting Goliath, and he said, "Who are you to fear this uncircumcised Philistine?" He's not in covenant with us. So he was letting them know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, because he was a part of the kingdom of darkness. David knew he was part of the kingdom of God. So he said, who are you to fear this uncircumcised Philistine? So uncircumcised means he's not in covenant with us. So when they circumcised someone, they cut away that foreskin. That means that they were in covenant with them. So it says that in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ, that means that's that old man. That's what you put off. That's what was done away with. That's no longer a part of you. So quit making excuses to say the devil made me do it. Quit making excuses saying that sin nature that's in that person, that's why they keep doing what they're doing. Let me give you a nugget. When you truly turn yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you say, Father, I can't do it no more. I recognize what Jesus done. I recognize that he paid the price for my sins. I couldn't pay that price because he that was without sin, that knew no sin, became sin for me so I could become the righteousness of God. Through who? Through him. So, Father, I recognize in order to get to you, I have to go through Jesus Christ. So, Father, today I accept Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior, as my Master, because I realize I cannot do it because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So once you let go of that and you do a heartfelt confession, I mean that you're confessing with your whole heart. And the reason why you can do that, because you heard the good news. You heard that you were saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It was the gift of God. You heard that you don't have to try to work nothing out. You don't have to try to do this, that, or the other, because you know what Jesus have already done. So when you know these things, that means that God is not about me no more. It's all about what he has done. And when you open your heart up to that, I'm here to tell you, when your heart is truly open and you know that you want to serve him and you know how much he loved you, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those who believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you know these things, the things that you used to do, you don't want to do them no more. Why? Because God even helped us with something. God said, I'm going to even give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be there to help you, to give aid to you, to comfort you, to be your paraclete. So the things that you know that you desire to do, only thing you got to do is call on your helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will help you because you seal with him even until the day of redemption. So what we got to understand, first of all, is the old man. That sin nature has been crucified. It has been put to death with Jesus Christ. It no longer lives. Are we on the same page? Because we're going to go further in this, but I want you to know that that old nature is dead. You are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. We know the spirit is the real you. That's the part of you that got saved. The soul needs salvation every day. It needs to be renewed on a daily basis. We're not going to be totally, can I put it this way, transformed until Jesus comes. Because our body right now is not where it needs to be. It was purchased and it was redeemed, but we're going to get total redemption when Jesus is up there and we're ready to be raptured up. So this is why we have to know, knowing this, that the old man is dead. There is no more excuse. Quit making excuses for what you do. Jesus paid for your past, your present, and future sins. Remember in the old, I'm going back to Genesis, and the Lord was reminding me of something. And the reason why is because I was saying, God, I said, when you look around, you see so much sickness and you see so much disease and you seeing people just cut up and act all out. Save folks, Lord. You seeing things that you just like, Lord, what in the world is going on? And the Holy Spirit began to minister to me with me, and he took me back to the beginning with Adam and Eve. And I'm telling you, when you go back and you meditate on where Adam and Eve was in the beginning, in the creation, when God created everything anew, when it was paradise, they didn't know no evil. Only thing they knew was good. Only thing they knew was good, because everything that God created, the Bible says, was good. There was no bad in nothing God created. Can you imagine all those animals that God created, all those different types, snakes and lions and all of this stuff, they were living amongst them and saw no evil in them. Everything was good around them. And God said, can you imagine, like when I look at the world today, God said the problem is we got everything in front of our eyes that we shouldn't see. We got everything that we're hearing that we shouldn't hear. Our feet are going places we shouldn't go. Our hands are touching things that we shouldn't touch. He said, but back in paradise, Adam and Eve were on one accord until the devil entered that garden. They knew everything was the same. There was no, how can I put it? I'm the priest of this house. You're going to listen to me. It wasn't no submission like that. Man wasn't the head until, guess what, woman came in and allowed the devil to deceive her. And see, this is what, can y'all just imagine? Adam and Eve had the same privileges. Same privileges. They were living a good life. And this is what God was telling me. He said, think, if the world that you were living in, they did the same thing. They thought the same thing because it was no evil. Everything around them was good. Everything they picked up was good. Everything their eyes saw was good. Everything that they heard was good. He said there wouldn't be no evil. He said that's how it was in paradise until the enemy came in. And when the enemy came in, he deceived Eve, making her think there's something better. There's something that you don't yet have. You still don't have enough. Come on, look at us today. We may have a nice car, nice home, nice clothes, have money in the bank, but yet we are still not satisfied. Why? Because we don't know that the old nature, the old man, the old self has been put to death, and if we know how to keep those desires where they need to be, we can be content with what we have. But the problem is we're not content because we have not perceived. We have not yet understand, because everybody always got something going on at a different time of the day. Somebody's talking about somebody. Somebody's fighting. Somebody's on drugs. Somebody's an alcoholic. Somebody's out prostituting. Can you imagine that if none of us in this room know about evil and we just look towards good, do you know what this world would be like? But it can be that way. It can be that way. It's what you choose. When you know who you are, the key is knowing who you are now that you're in Christ. See, God knew that we had to be here on this earth. Even after we got born again, after we got saved, God said, I knew that you had to stay here on earth. Do you think I'm that stupid not to leave you somebody to help you with what you're going through here on this earth? And yet you will not accept his help? He said, don't you know that I know that sometimes you're going to be up, sometimes you're going to be down? Don't you know that I knew that you would be persecuted? You would be falsely accused? Don't you know I knew you would be talked about even amongst the saints, the set apart ones? Don't you know that I knew sickness would come and try to hit you? Don't you know that disease would try to creep in? Don't you know I knew all of this? That's why I gave you a help. know we do opposite of what we say we know. Why are we still doing these things? Why are we acting like we're not saved, y'all? Well, you know, Apostle, I'm saved on Sunday, but don't ask me about Monday. Monday is a different day. Now, I may act holier than thou on Sunday because I got to make an appearance in the house of God, but I can't tell you what I'm going to do, Sister Gloria, when I come out of this house. Because, see, right now, I got to act like I'm saved. See, I'm going to be a hypocrite up in here, and people that are not in the spirit ain't going to know who I really am. But let me tell you something. When I get out of here, I'm going to undress myself, and I'm just going to put on my holy roller clothes like I'm all of this in a bag of chips. You just don't see me because you don't know. Because everybody's always making excuses for what they do. No more excuses. Jesus took care of the excuse. Sin is an excuse. He took care of that, past, present, and future. The problem is we get so lazy in our Christian walk. We get so lazy and we try to excuse ourselves when we done talk somebody down. We try to make an excuse of why we said. Don't make no excuse. Just say, I repent. Repent means I recognize what I have done and what I have said. And the reason why I'm repenting because I'm godly sorrowful. My heart is godly sorrowful. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit let me know. He convicted me of righteousness of who I am now that I'm in Christ. And I don't have a right talking about my brother and sister. I don't have a right pulling down my brother and sister. Why? He told me to love my neighbor even as I love myself. Even though my brother and sister may curse me and hate me, the Bible tells me to bless those who curse me, love those who hate me. The Bible tell me to forgive. So I can truly repent because I'm in the Word. If you ain't in the Word, you ain't truly repenting. Your heart ain't right. Your heart is still yet hard because you're too focused on what they did and what they said and when they said it. So you can't, I just can't get over that. It's going to take me a while. That's because you choose for it to take you a while. That's not God's plan. That's not God's way. Don't you know it hurts a father when we don't walk like he do? But we don't talk like he do, but yet we're using his name. Who your daddy? Who your daddy? Who your daddy? They're going to know who your daddy is by your actions, by how you carrying yourself. Anybody who asks who your daddy, is something going on with you. Because when you serving the Lord Jesus Christ, they know who your daddy is. They know who your brother is. They know who your sister is. They know you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. So in order to live a crucified life, you got to know that that old man is dead. You got to know that that old man has been put to death. And when I was looking into the Word of God, I'm like, man, God, this is so exciting. You say that old man has been put to death, but seem like you're seeing him every day. Lord, why are you looking at him every day? Lord, why is he rising up? If something is dead, then why is it walking around here like it's living? Have you ever thought about that? Well, we're going to get to that. Remember, the old man is dead, but guess what happened? The old man left behind habits. I give you an example. This is what the Lord was telling me. Y'all know when a baby come out of the womb, and even while a baby is in the womb, you're teaching that baby in the womb. When you carry a child, everywhere you go, that child go. Everything you listen to, that child is. If you out there, is it turkin, whatever. Y'all don't know all that stuff. That baby come out doing that. Whatever you do, come on, you drink, you get high. That baby come out the way you were doing. Because that baby is getting nourishment from that mother. So this is why you have so many people that's wondering why. I'll give you an example. They have gotten to the point that they're saying that homosexuality is thumbs up. It's okay. They're getting to the point that they only want you to discuss it in the churches. They want you to leave them alone and let them do their own thing. It's getting to the point that they're saying it's okay because God loved them too. Yes, God loved us all. He proved his love even while we were yet in that homosexuality that we didn't supposed to be in and the other sins we didn't supposed to be in. He proved his love by allowing Jesus to die for us even while we was yet doing what we should not be doing. He proved that. So, yes, he loved them, but he don't like what's going on. Amen? So people are giving that a thumbs up, but you got to understand the Bible says, in the beginning, God created male and female. Why did he create male and female? Because he said, I want you to come together as man and wife, and I want you to replenish. I want you to fulfill the earth. He said, because I need people down here on earth to take care of what need to be taken care of. So they got in their minds that, like Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't think he blew them up for no reason. He gave them an opportunity to get it right. Sin was so deep in Sodom and Gomorrah. Can y'all believe this? Even Lot wanted to give his daughters to leave the men that was in his house alone. They had such a snitch for what they were doing. It was so strong that they was trying to break in his house and drag out what they wanted. But that's when blindness came to him. And he gave them a chance, and even Abraham interceded. But your mind can get so reprobate that God will turn you over to what you believe because you refuse to believe the truth. Y'all know what happened? Lot and his family come out, but it was one in the family that still wanted what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, which was his wife. She looked back. We got some people in here that's looking back. But yet you say you're saved. But you're looking back on how it was when I was in the world. I didn't go through all what I'm going through now. I didn't get sick like I'm getting sick now. I ain't broke. I wasn't broke then like I'm broke now. And you say that's the good life? Let me tell you something. There's a life that God gives you that the world can't give you. That's an everlasting life. That's a life that never ends. That means that it has no ending to it. People don't want to share in that life because some of us as saints, as Christians, is not portraying ourselves the way we need to portray ourselves for some people to say, I want what you got. And see, this is why when those apostles came to town, they knew that they were crucified. Paul knew he was crucified. And his life reflected what he believed. Paul got in so much stuff, left for dead. But guess what? God wasn't through with Paul. So when they left him for dead, Paul got up after they prayed over him. He went somewhere else and still began to preach the gospel. Guess what we do when we're persecuted and we talked about and we ridiculed? We lay there and whine. I ain't got no friends. I do the best I can. I don't know why nobody don't. Get over it. Because when you're crucified for Christ, it's no longer you that lives. I'm getting to that. But it's Christ that lives in you. And your life has to portray him. How can my life portray him knowing about him?
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. We would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety. You may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Burgall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.